Are you happy in your business? Now, I have had my share of emotional ups and downs in my 20 years of being a solo entrepreneur coach. And the patterns I've seen in myself and in my clients is that those downs are usually when I was personally feeling unfulfilled. Sometimes it was because a launch that flopped, and sometimes it was just life and had nothing to do with business. But those ups, oh boy, those are the times when I was feeling my most authentic and completely aligned to my purpose, or when I just felt like I was rocking that work-life balance. I would be thinking, I could do this all day long and never feel tired. One of my loves is sharing what works for me and what has been working for my clients to achieve this very feeling, full of passion, happiness, peace, and freedom. So I decided to create a private podcast for coaches. Maybe you just want to develop better communication skills that boosts engagement, leads to better results, and makes you feel like you're actually making a difference in the lives of the people you serve. Then you're invited too. We talk about this and more in the UBU private podcast for coaches. Whether you're a mentor, a parent, or run a client-focused business, coaching skills benefit everyone and anyone who wants to communicate in a way that builds relationships. Fall in love with your life and business again. Click the link in the show notes for your invitation to join us right now. Then come back and enjoy this episode.
I remember having a boss one time who I think saw some of this type 2 in me. And he pulled me aside one day and said, less now, more later. And it really, this was 35 years ago, and that still has an impact on me.
It's time to stop comparing yourself to others and plug in to what is uniquely you. Welcome to Unbox Your Personality, the podcast for coaches, parents, and mentors like you who understand that your happiness makes you more effective at what you do, bringing out the best in others. I'm Jen Higgins, personality strategist and Enneagram fluff remover. Get laser focused on who you are and who you aren't, so you're free to make the impact you were born to make. And have fun doing it. Your personality is your business. So let's get down to business. Today, I'm excited to be chatting with Catherine Berg. Catherine has been practicing classical homeopathy for 20 years. She studied at the Northwestern Academy of Homeopathy and has since studied with other well-respected homeopaths, including Jeremy Scher, which is one of my favorites, Louis Klein, Rajan Sankaran, Jan Scholten, and many others. She is the owner of Lotus Homeopathy, Inc., and specializes in PTSD, autism, and women's and children's health issues. Let's listen in on our chat. How are you doing today, Catherine?
It's a good day. It's snowy here in Minnesota, but I'm happy to be here.
Wow, it's snow. We got freezing fog the other day, and it looked like snow. It was beautiful.
It is. It is. Yes.
And schools didn't get canceled. That was the best part. Oh. Okay. So before, I'm really good at going off on tangents. So before I go do that, can you please tell the listeners who is Catherine Berg and what you believe in and how you share that with others?
Okay. Well, I'm Catherine Berg. I have been practicing homeopathy for 20 years. I'm also a mom, a musician. I like to pretend I'm good at art. I affiliate myself with all of those things. I think people are multifaceted, and that's part of what I believe in. Part of the things I have recognized from all these years of being a homeopath is that we are more than what has happened to us, and we are more than what we do. Yes. We might make mistakes. We need to give ourselves grace. Things happen. in our lives. They can cause us trauma. That doesn't mean, you know, we are bound by that. So I believe that there's always an opportunity to improve your life, and homeopathy is one of the ways that can do that.
Yeah. I am a fan of homeopathy, and I specifically sought you out. Yeah. And so for those who are listening that have never heard of homeopathy before, can you kind of give us like a Cliff Notes version of exactly what that is?
Absolutely. Homeopathy is a form of natural medicine. It's been around for a couple of hundred years. It was, I don't want to say invented, but it was, the principles were developed by a physician named Dr. Samuel Hahnemann, who was a German physician in the 1700s and 1800s. And he stumbled upon homeopathy, or the idea of like cures like, when he was translating medical textbooks. And somebody said that the reason that quinine was so effective in treating malaria was because it was so bitter. And he's like, well, it can't be just because it's so bitter, because being a chemist, he knew that there were five substances more bitter than quinine and they didn't touch malaria. So curiosity getting the better of him, he took a dose of malaria or of quinine and developed the symptoms of malaria. So he stumbled into this like cures like, because he knew if he gave it to people who already had those symptoms, it would cure those symptoms. But if he gave it to someone who didn't have it, it would cause those symptoms. And that's so when remedies that are prepared in a very particular way that come from the plant, mineral, and animal worlds, when they match the symptoms of the person, it helps the body heal itself.
I love the phrase, it helps the body heal itself, because yes, our bodies are amazing. They're amazing at doing that if we allow it to.
Yes. And I like to see the homeopathic remedies as like a little lesson to the body in how to heal itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So sometimes the body needs a reminder. You know, we can't always heal everything on our own. You know, sometimes things get stuck. And so homeopathy is like that little reminder.
Well, what was it that made you decide to go into homeopathy? What's your story?
My story is that I was out walking my puppy. I don't know. It must have been 30 years ago almost now. I live in Minnesota, so there was ice on the ground, and he got excited about a dog that was barking at him, and he pulled me down on the ice, and I got this big bruise on my knee. And I had plans to go over to a friend's house afterwards, so I did that, and I asked her if she had some ice for my knee, and she said, oh, you should take some arnica. And so not knowing what that was, of course, she said, well, it's a homeopathic remedy that you should always have around for cases of physical trauma. And so I went to a store in South Minneapolis, where I was living at the time. And it was the only place at the time that you could get remedies in retail. And I picked up some arnica. And while I was there, I thought, you know, I should read some books about this if I'm going to be doing this. I should know what I'm doing. So I picked up three books. And by the time I got done reading them, I decided I was going to be a homeopath.
What was it that made you decide from the books?
Because I could see how people's lives could change from it. That people didn't have to be stuck in a certain mindset. They didn't have to be stuck in their suffering. It was really the mental and emotional piece that really attracted me to it. I mean, the physical piece, of course, is a lot of what I work on, but we always have to have a mental and emotional piece as well to find the remedy. So,
like, why is that important to you, that people understand that our mindset is so much a part of our healing?
Well, because the mind and body are all in one package, aren't they? Mm. You know, it, people talk a lot about the mind and body connection, but sometimes it's really difficult to make those changes, you know, those mental changes. You know that, you're a coach, you help people do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So homeopathy's, you know, another way that people can kind of move on into something else.
Because sometimes it's a physical manifestation of a mental trauma or a mental block that we're holding on to.
Yes, It is. And, you know, I can go through cases and I can kind of see, like, if somebody has a problem with stiffness in their body, let's say, you know, their pain that they have is described as stiffness, they are generally mentally and emotionally a little stiff too. So the story carries through all three planes. So.
That's interesting. And for the Enneagram fans that are listening, that would be a type that's somehow attached to a Enneagram one. So
Okay.
it's an uprightness mentality. And so there is my mental picture is of Mary Poppins. She's very proper. She's not scary. She's not like Nanny McPhee, but she's very proper and approachable, but upright, stiff, just what you were describing.
Yes, for sure.
So when you hear so the name of the podcast is Unbox Your Personality. Now, in terms of what you do as a classical homeopath, what does Unbox Your Personality mean to you?
Well, I feel like every time someone takes a remedy that's a good match, that it does help them unbox their personality. And sometimes when we refer to it as taking a case, I can see things that I don't think they see. I see patterns. That's what I'm trained to do. And a lot of times people will come back after a well-chosen remedy that matches their symptoms well, and they will start to recognize those things about themselves that they didn't recognize before. So it's definitely a very big part of homeopathy.
Yeah. What if when I first started seeing a homeopath and I got my constitutional remedy, I learned so much about myself just reading about the remedy.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
And I bring that up because to me, I feel like constitutional remedies is almost like the homeopathic version of a personality assessment. Is that true?
It is in a general sense, yes. But you know, when you go through the nine types and the Enneagram, there's 5,000 or more remedies, so they're gonna, you know, be more than one remedy type in there. But I use Enneagrams and other personality type things sometimes to help narrow things down for me,
Oh, that's
you
really
know, because then I can kind of get people to talk about themselves sometimes a little bit more when they see themselves in a personality quiz, we'll say. Yeah.
right. Do you have an example of that?
Yes, when I follow a podcaster and author called Gretchen Rubin, and she has written a book called Better Than Before, and it was about changing habits. And one of the things she stumbled upon while researching that book was that some people respond to inner expectations, some people respond to outer expectations, some people respond to neither, and some people respond to both. And so based on this quiz, it kind of can help me a little bit. And then the people who respond to outer expectations, she calls them obligers. Excuse me, I couldn't think of it. And sometimes obligers can go into rebellion because they're so tired of doing things for other people, which is kind of a type two, right? Obligers. Type two are obligers for sure. And so I can think about people who might be in obliger rebellion. You know, there's maybe these 10 remedies that I'm going to look at first because in my mind I've sort of assigned them to that already. So, yeah.
Kind of narrows down the process.
It does help narrow it down. Now, something like an Enneagram might be actually even more useful because there are more types. And so that means, you know, there's going to be less overlap between, you know, this remedy could go in this one and this one. You know, and obviously when you're trying to squeeze remedies into four types versus nine types, it's going to be less accurate. So something like this would be really accurate.
And truly, if we get kind of nerdy about the Enneagram, there's really about 108 different types.
Okay.
Actually, more than that. So that's about as far as I calculated it before my brain started to melt. Because I actually teach people not to dig too deep into their subtypes, because it explains us very, very well. And we definitely do feel seen and heard, and we can find a constitutional remedy probably faster if we understand what we lean to, what we default to. But when I am helping people understand their personality, I really use the Enneagram to explain one leg of our personality tripod, so to speak. Like, have you ever had a tripod where, you know, the legs are independently adjustable?
Yes, I have one.
Yes. And if you don't get them at least within a margin of error of alike, it's not going to be stable.
Correct.
Going to lean to one side. And so personality, the Enneagram is just one leg of that tripod. And so helping them get out of that box by not focusing on the tiny nuances that keep us stuck in our box, we're actually able to grow and feel more whole instead of feeling separated. The deeper we dig, the more separated we feel, because we find out how we are different, which is important. Mm-hmm. That's what grounds us. But if we want to be able to grow from that starting point, we have to really understand where our blind spots are and develop those so that we can be more whole.
Are you feeling a bit disappointed that you haven't finished that project yet? Are the kids' schedules impacting your business? Or are the demands of your business affecting your relationships at home? Maybe you need a magic formula for that work-life balance before your fire gets so dim or it completely burns out. I've been there. There was a point in my life where I was juggling two businesses and homeschooling and had personal health issues. There was barely time to even connect with myself, much less connect with my husband. When I was finally officially diagnosed with ADHD, I felt like that explained everything. I had a new perspective and started approaching things in a new way. So I created a guide containing 20 tips that I personally use, and they have worked for me for helping me stay on course with my goals. Now, you might not have ADHD, but I bet you can relate to having a million distractions during the day. So if you're ready to stop procrastinating or stop being hard on yourself for missing yet another deadline, self-imposed or not, go ahead and download the guide at powercoachjen.com. If you just find one tip from the list that helps you move forward today, you will be so glad you took the time to read it. Go to powercoachjen.com and download the guide right now.
And I have to say, what's really interesting about that explanation is that I find in homeopathy, people who have examined themselves too deeply, who are constantly trying to get to the bottom of everything, are harder to find remedies for because they have too many symptoms.
I am so glad you said that. Because I think I have been guilty of that. When it comes to taking my own case and trying to repertize my symptoms, I've gotten a little overwhelmed. So, wow.
Woo. Yeah. So what we try to do is find out really what is it that needs to be cured, number one. And number two, what do we know it for sure is true? Mm. Not what do we think is true or what are we kind of guessing is true? We have to just go by what we know for sure is true. Mm. And I can remember I used to help out at the homeopathy school here in the student clinic. And I can remember working with a student who was kind of making some just guesses about a client. And I said, you can't use that to come up with a remedy. It might be fun and interesting, but you don't know that that's true. So we really have to pay attention to what is true, what is the sensation, what is the feeling, what is the delusion. And then the physicals. Yeah. And the physicals and the dreams. Yes.
Yes, the dreams is always fascinating. But I love the way you describe that. Let's figure out what is exactly what is true. And yes, that is something that we can't always observe in someone else.
Right.
And
right.
So the people who have followed me, I have really drilled in rule number one of the Enneagram. It's about your motivations and not your behaviors. And so when we start assessing ourselves or assessing other people, typing other people, which I discourage, all we know is what we're observing, but we don't know what is the true root of that. And the example I usually use is volunteering. Mm-hmm. All nine types volunteer. And they will volunteer and will enjoy volunteering. It's the same behavior, but all nine of them do it for a different reason. And
yes,
and I mean, like the ones might do it because it's the right thing to do. And the twos will do it because they want to be helpful and they want to feel needed. Threes will do it to, you know, possibly put it on the resume because they they want to achieve. And be really good at volunteering. And then I can go through all of them, and I have before in a previous episode. So I won't repeat myself, but it is definitely one of those things that I think is a human nature thing. We make these assumptions because we actually all have a paintbrush. That's our personality paintbrush, and we paint our world with it. And we project yes. ourselves onto other people. And I can imagine that makes it, when we're not whole ourselves and understand and aware of our mind, body, and spirit, that holistic approach, when we're not aware of where we're imbalanced and have a blind spot, it's so easy for us to do that and think it's the truth. It's just our truth. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Well, in homeopathy, you know, we have a similar situation, which is, you know, let's just give an example that we have somebody who's very busy. They're always working, you know, and that's a behavior that's really common in the United States, right? We can't just look at the behavior of being busy to know what remedy to give. So, you know, one person might be busy because they're anxious. And if they keep busy, they feel less anxious. Somebody else might be busy because they're afraid of losing money. And so they keep, you know, keep busy to do that, you know, and I could go on. And so, yes, the motivation behind things is really important in homeopathy too. And we kind of look at it like, you know, a sensation. What is it that you're feeling? So I have an example to share. So I have this client who is, you know, in his early 20s, and he has some physical issues, but he feels like, you know, the world is not fair because he prepares, he works hard, but things don't turn out for him, you know? And he, you know, and he's game, he's always prepared. He feels like he's doing the right things, and generally he is. But they don't always turn out. And so the world isn't fair for him. So this sort of sensation, this thing is, I it's hopeless here. My life is like going to college and preparing for a test, and you go to class and the teacher gives you the, or the professor gives you the exam that's full of stuff you never studied. That's how his life feels to him. So that's his sensation, is that the world is unfair for him.
So. I was trying to imagine what, I was trying to quiz myself on what remedy that might be.
Oh, there's a lot of injustice remedies. It's, you know, there. I don't really want to say what remedy it was, just because I don't want people listening thinking that this is their remedy. Plus, it's a very unusual and odd remedy, which means really hardly anyone will need that. But there's 90 or 100 remedies in the symptom of injustice and cannot tolerate injustice. The question is the injustice about yourself or is it about other people?
That's interesting.
Yeah. So that's another way to look at the remedies. So, yeah.
And then when I'm thinking about Enneagram types, with injustice, type eights are in tune with the injustices of the world, mostly when it comes to people who can't help it, for like widows and orphans, disabilities, people who just can't help their situation. They're very passionate about those injustices. Type sixes also, social injustices. And any type that's attached to those numbers also can also feel that injustice piece.
Okay.
So interesting.
Yes.
I view homeopathy as a holistic practice because when you take a case, you have to look at all the pieces of that person, not just what symptoms that they are presenting right now, but also in their past as well. And
yes.
In their dreams and their hopes and their desires that maybe they haven't actualized yet. So how has taking understanding this holistic approach or your own wellness, you as Catherine, how has that impacted others in a way that you couldn't imagine?
I think that when I look at the holistic approach, you know, it is the mental, emotional, and physical. And I have to say that I would say 50% of the time, I am astounded at the results of a remedy with the client. You know, how they will say, wow, here's something that I never expected to get better, and it did. It's over and over again, you know, 20 years in, and I'm still like, wow, I wouldn't have expected that to get better either. I'll give you an example. People will come in and say, well, you know, I don't have that headache anymore that I used to get, you know, with the band around my head, and I'd look through my notes and I'd say, well, you didn't tell me about that. And they're like, oh, didn't I? Well, you know what? It's not there anymore.
So, it's like a bonus cure.
It is. It is.
And you know what happens the same way when we heal our personalities as well. When we take a holistic approach to personality wellness, then we start healing things that there's no way that we would have known. Like, we just didn't recognize. We get so comfortable in our pain sometimes.
We do.
And we don't recognize the pain for what it is until it's not there anymore. And it's like, oh, I feel better. And when we get comfortable and we get desensitized to our pain, we don't even know that we need to move, that we need to grow, that we need to heal. And so sometimes that's the bonus cure. When we use one trigger, we start curing all sorts of other things. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a physical symptom like tension headache. Mm-hmm. All sorts of stuff. Yes.
Yes, for sure. When we change ourselves, our environment changes.
Yes, it's that ripple effect.
Yes, for sure.
And it all starts with ourselves.
It does. It does all start with ourselves. And what's interesting about that, starting with ourselves, is we have to want to do it. And that's true, you know, with homeopathy, it's true with Enneagram, it's true with any kind of mental health situation. You know, I've had people come, they'll sit for the 2-hour intake, they'll pay their money, and they don't take the remedy. Because in the end, they're not ready to get well.
Yeah. And then we just have to love them where they are.
That's right. That's right. And it's kind of like, well, that's, you know what? That's okay. Just let me know when you're ready.
Yes. And one day, one day.
Yes. One day. Yep.
So I know that when we've talked before, you were talking about your homeopath. And I love that you're a homeopath and you go to a homeopath. It's just like I say, coaches need coaches.
They do, yes.
And so tell me how being able to go to a homeopath and get yourself well, because sometimes we have our own blind spots, right?
Right.
How does that make you a better homeopath?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question because first of all, I think we always learn something from each other, whether it be about homeopathy or about ourselves as homeopaths. But, you know, I've told you I'm a type 2 Enneagram, and I find it really awesome to let someone take care of me for a change instead of always being the one, you know, who's trying to help other people. I think it's a really good exercise for me is to let other people take care of me for a change. I remember having a boss one time who I think saw some of this type 2 in me. And he pulled me aside one day and said, less now, more later. And it really, this was 35 years ago. And that still has an impact on me. It has made a really big difference in my life. So to just slow down, don't feel like you have to do everything for everybody.
Less now, more later.
More later.
Mm-hmm. So what did, just curious, I like seeing the patterns of how dynamic we are when we move in stress or move in security. How do you know? What triggers you that, I need to go to the homeopath, or I need to remind myself of that mantra of less now, more later? What's the trigger for you?
The trigger for me is I feel like I am overdoing it on behalf of other people, that I'm doing what other people want me to do and not doing what I want to do myself. You know, I sometimes have different flavors of that, you know, that shows up a little bit differently, but I actually see my homeopath fairly regularly, you know, just for a check-in.
Yeah. Maintenance.
Maintenance. Yes.
So I have a CORE framework. It's an acronym, CORE, and the C stands for check yourself or check in. I like how you called it check in. And my husband has an alarm on his phone. I love, he's my favorite client, but he has an alarm on his phone that goes off at 1 o'clock every day that says, check me, so that he remembers to check in with himself, check in with what his body is telling him, check in with what thoughts he's thinking at right at the time. And is he in alignment of his whole self, or is he skewing himself to one side? So it's kind of like having that regular maintenance. So I'm glad that you're doing that.
Yes. Yes. It really makes a difference.
And of course, we all know that twos go to a four in security, in growth, which when we integrate, we start looking more like a healthy four. And a healthy four for a two would look like taking care of yourself.
Okay.
It's more of a self-care. And sometimes it might even be, it has to be a dramatic move. That the word dramatic is often associated with fours because they feel all the feels. They feel all the feels, but they tend to repress it. And so then it comes out very dramatically. And so for twos, sometimes you have to be dramatic in order to get the attention of the people to say, hey, enough. I've got to take care of me. I've got to take care of me. Pause. Less now, more later.
That's really interesting. That, because I've definitely been kind of feeling that lately. Like, it's time for me to, you know, do what I need to do for myself instead of, you know, worrying about everybody else's stuff. And I've kind of even built it into a schedule where, like, for example, I will take a week and eat only certain types of foods. And I'm not doing this because I know nobody else likes them. I'm doing it because it's part of this program that I'm following. But you know what happens? I don't make dinner that week.
That's so creative.
I mean, this is sort of a hindsight thing, right? I'm like, ooh, you know, this is a really good idea that once a month for a week, I'm not making dinner for anyone else. I'm doing it for myself and myself only. So
that's great. Yeah. And brilliant. And I hope twos that are listening can pick up on that and use that tactic. That's a great tactic of just building it into your schedule.
Yes, yeah. It is. Yeah.
All right. I have loved our conversation, Catherine. Thank you so much for joining me today and having this conversation. I'm such a big fan of homeopathy, and I've always wondered how I could merge the two, and you have fulfilled that for me today.
I'm happy to have done that for you.
Thank you so much. So before you leave, can you tell the listeners how they can find you online?
Absolutely. So I have on my website a page that's got a list of questions that you should answer before you call a homeopath or work on it for yourself, so that you can kind of remember to look at those things.
Where can they find that list of questions?
That list of questions is on my website, which is lotushomeopathy.com. On the top of my website is a menu. And if you touch or click on who do we help, underneath there a menu will pop out and it says answer these acute care questions, and they can click on that, and under there it's divided into questions for injuries, questions for insect bites, sore throats, coughs, stomach flu, diarrhea, runny nose, influenza, and it's lotushomeopathy.com. I also have a Lotus Homeopathy Facebook page. I like to post things about success stories. So. Right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
I hope you've learned a new way to unbox your personality today. Catherine lives in Woodbury, Minnesota, and she offers both in-person and Zoom appointments. Now check out her website to learn more about homeopathy from her blog, and she does have success stories with trauma. Holistic wellness is a core value of mine, so I'm very thankful to have had Catherine here to share her personal stories and to remind us that when you unbox yourself, you unleash your power.
Thank you for listening, subscribing, and reviewing the Unbox Your Personality podcast. To learn more about yourself, go to powercoachjen.com. Find out how you are different, so you can make your difference.